John Batchelor. I welcome Ben and Ben Talablu, senior fellow of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, to interpret remarks by significant players in the Vienna talks about reawakening the JCPOA, improving the JCPOA, the Iran deal of 2015 that the United States departed from during the Trump administration and the Biden administration is seeking to reorganize. Ben, a very good evening to you. We have a comment from the Prime Minister of Israel. We have a comment from the Secretary of State, Mr. Blinken. These comments are striking in that both introduce doubt about Iran's purpose. The Prime Minister said to the Secretary of State, according to a statement from the Prime Minister's office, Iran is engaged in nuclear blackmail as a negotiating tactic. This must lead to an immediate suspension of the talks in Vienna and to harsh retaliation steps by the world powers. The Secretary of State, on his part, in response, said that the U.S. will know, quote, in a day or two, whether Iran is ready to negotiate in good faith. But, according to the Secretary of State, recent moves don't give us a reason for optimism. What is the status we understand right now of Iran at these talks? Is it looking for a deal? Is it looking for rhetoric to incite? Good evening to you.
Very good evening to you, John. I think the Iranian play here is both simple and sophisticated. Yes, they're trying to bargain away some of the stuff that they've accumulated over the past few years. But ultimately, when you look at Iran's nuclear violations and nuclear moves in 2021, they are learning things which have direct weapons implications for them. So consider Iran's presence at the nuclear talks today, not just motivated by macroeconomics, not just motivated by a desire to spook America into once again offering premature and unwarranted sanctions relief. Look at it as a way for the regime to continue to use every available option, public diplomacy, actual diplomacy, indirect diplomacy, or not, to advance its nuclear program while blunting and deflecting as much foreign pressure as possible. Now, the comments you mentioned, for instance, by Secretary Blinken about knowing how serious Iran is in a day or two, I think some of us might already be able to tell with immense respect from this much distance. And again, I'm seated in Washington and the talks are happening in Vienna, about what Iran's goals and aims really are here. Ultimately, I think the more reports come out and the more it's confirmed and the more you see people leaking this stuff out there, whether on Twitter or other outlets, that Iran really is serious about pressing for sanctions relief first. Iran really is serious about amending some of the stuff that it inherited from the six rounds of indirect diplomacy from the Biden P5+1 and former Rouhani administrations. Then you begin to be able to piece together the puzzle of what's Iran's state of play today. This regime believes it has vindicated. This regime believes that there will not be a severe return to pressure. It believes it's outlived the peak of pressure. And consider these moves, this stalling, a play by a very emboldened adversary.
The sanctions relief, as I understand it, and this is 24, 48 hours, so it could be moving. The sanctions relief is a demand by Iran. All sanctions must be lifted. The money must be paid. I'm also understanding that there's been a deal of that already, I think. There's not been severe sanctions for some time. So what does it look like if Iran gets everything it wants? All the money, all the sanctions lifted, where are they at that point?
Well, what it looks like is complete failure for the U.S. For instance, prior to the Raisi administration coming in, and the Raisi is Iran's new ultra-hardline president, who was the cabinet of nearly 40% sanctioned individuals, which is a feat given the number of other sanctioned individuals that have served at the helm of power for the past four decades inside the Islamic Republic. When that new government came in, they actually had something to build off of. And if you look at reports that the previous Iranian government's foreign ministry gave to parliament, allegedly back then, and this has not been at all confirmed on the U.S. side, but allegedly, the U.S. had talked about removing all Trump-era sanctions. This included the IRGC FTO, for instance. This included the mass executive order against Iran's Supreme Leader's Office, which is the same authority that Iran's President Ebrahim Raisi is sanctioned under. So there is, of course, this idea out there in the ether that the U.S. was willing to give this much relief. And if Blinken today, and the U.S. negotiating team indirectly today has concerns about where this may go, well, then one must imagine how much more severe the Iranian demands are and how much more likely, if there is any deal, at the end of 2021, not likely, or even potentially in 2022, potentially likely, that it's not going to be a reversion to the 2015 JCPOA. It is much, much more likely going to be something akin to a less by the Iranians and a more by the Americans. The Iranians are very, very comfortable with escalation and extortion today.
To recover where we are, the Iranians have been making announcements for some time about what they are intending with their fissile material, increasing from X to Y to Z. Where are they right now, knowing that 90% is weapons grade? Where are they in this escalation?
Well, let's just briefly, for the audience, trace this origins and evolution story of enrichment inside Iran of uranium. The more you enrich uranium, the more uses you can have. What the JCPOA, the 2015 deal, permitted was 3.67%. Iran, before the JPOA, before the 2013 nuclear deal, depending on how you count, had up to, of the 3.5% level, 8 to 9 bombs worth of LEU on its own territory. Now, as people assume that it may have up to 4 bombs worth on its own territory. Long story short, 20%, which is what Iran first went to in 2010 and then escalated again to in 2012 and then resumed at the beginning of this year in January 2021, is considered highly enriched. 90%+ is considered weapons grade. But between 20% and 90% is actually quite easy to escalate. And the regime this April took another step to enrich to 60% purity, something that is usually used for nuclear propulsion of submarines, submarines that the regime does not even have. So there is even there a diminishing, quote-unquote, rationale for Iranian enrichment to such high levels. At some point, this is not about Iran playing with bargaining chips. This is about practicing for a potential breakout scenario. So there is much to be concerned about Iran's nuclear steps in 2021. It's not just non-proliferation experts that are calling these moves irreversible. The E3, the Europeans, have come out to America's rights before these negotiations even began. France, Germany, the United Kingdom, they said that Iran's nuclear moves, these more recent ones, are permanent and irreversible and drastically reduce the counter-proliferation value of the JCPOA. Their words, not mine. So this begs the question, what is the U.S. doing in Vienna?
Israel has made a phone call, the prime minister has made a phone call declaring this nuclear blackmail. That is hard language, very straightforward language. How is this heard in two other capitals that are part of the talks, Beijing and Moscow? How do they hear the remarks of the prime minister, Benham?
Well, in some way, the lines have already been drawn, Russia and China have strategically used Iran as a pawn in their game of strategic competition against the West, whether arms sales, oil sales, tightening of political ties, tightening of military ties, and certainly tightening of economic ties. But both countries have already known about Israeli skepticism for these talks, have already known about Iranian nuclear duplicity, but they simply choose to amplify the Iranian side of things at the moment because what they want is America to be arrested by a return to the 2015 nuclear deal. They want all of those sanctions on their partner in the region to go back. They want this trade to return. And ultimately, this is going to have ramifications for America's major ally in the region, Israel. And that's why the Israelis, which have a lower red line than the U.S. when it comes to what they can and can't tolerate vis-a-vis the Iranian nuclear file, that's why they're worried. That's why they're concerned.
Back to the remark by the Secretary of State. We just get pieces of this. The phone call was lengthy between the Prime Minister and the Secretary, but Mr. Blinken said we'll know in a day or two. That is a very tight timeline. Do you expect that to be that by the weekend or by the first of the week, the U.S. will make its a position about whether these talks are sincere or not? We have less than a minute.
But, my concern here is that it's not actually a timeline. Many had assumed that the negotiations would go on for about a week, maybe a little bit more, or maybe a little bit less than a business week. And at the end of that, the U.S. could take stock of the Iranian position and say if it's sincere or not sincere, or if it's still worth engaging. Or one might see that the U.S. Could try for another round of indirect diplomacy in 2021 or perhaps in early 2022. So I don't know how boxed in the administration is going to feel by this own timeline, this 1 or 2 days. That could be simply what's left on the clock in Vienna. But what clock we should really be keeping our eyes on is the nuclear clock inside Tehran, because we cannot isolate the talks in Vienna from the nuclear facts being built and escalated on the ground in Iran.
Ben and Ben Taliblu, Senior Fellow, Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. I'm John Bash.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.